And you might want to turn in Galatians, and keeping in mind our exercise of late in Sunday school, looking at the essential and absolutely necessary for the Spirit of God to be active and understood and exercised. He does. He makes all of God's saving grace real. Apart from that, it won't. You'll never know it in that way. So, and we share together, and have been sharing a little bit in chapter Galatians 5. It's all about works. Legalism, in other words, you aren't saved by works, you're saved by grace. B, the Judaizers were saying, it's wonderful, we know you're going to believe in the Lord Jesus, but you need to do the works. You need to be circumcised and do the law to some measure. Otherwise, you can't be saved. And that is not true. So, and we looked at that to see the absolute necessity of understanding that it isn't by works. And thus, just think, if you would, in putting it together, it's a silly illustration, but it'll help you. Think of going to the graveyard and talking to the people down there below in the graveyard and giving them all the problems that are up on top here, up on top, whether it's in Europe or anywhere in the world. And you tell them all the, no matter how, doesn't matter what you tell them, of anywhere, of everything that's going on. And there is absolutely no bother to them. They're down below, and you're up above. Now, so therefore, when we're down below, as it were, God's up above, if we can use that illustration. We're down below. Everything up above is different than everything down below. All your life, your works, you get out of bed, you were born, you're going to die. Every thought, word, deed, every movement of your mind and heart, every beat of your pulse, of your blood flow, all the way from the day you start to the day you die, is down below. It's you. It's you. You. Your works. That does not save you. That never saves you. God saves you. Our works, everything that we do in word, thought, and deed, which we've been going and trying to explain over and over again. Do you see the essential? Well, I'm going to do this so that God will know that I'm faithful. I'm going to do this so that God will remember I'm doing this. I do this so that I read my devotions so that God will bless me. Now, that's true. But reading the devotions, and God's going to bless you, Lord willing, all of that, that is not saving you. God's saving you by his grace. It has nothing to do with your devotions, nothing to do with your prayer life. Understand? I'm telling you the good things, let alone the bad things. It doesn't save you. God does. It is grace, 1,000,000,000%. And you do nothing. When we bring our works in, then it louses up your relationship with God, and you lose it in the sense of practical, profitable, pleasing, enjoying God, it's gone. In that moment, you're trusting yourself, and you've left God out of the picture. Leaving God out of the picture, you lose it. So the works, and you'll see it pick over in chapter 5, And may I go, if I can, in chapter 5 to verse 19. 5 and 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, heresies, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's our works. Now, so therefore, Galatians, among other things, is written and given for us to understand not to get caught up in the legal system. Works. You're not saved by works. God isn't dealing with you based on your works in that sense. He's dealing with us in grace. Now, in order to get that in front of you, let's try a little exercise. Over in Galatians, and in Galatians, if I may, chapter 4. In Galatians in chapter 4, here we're looking at Israel, and Israel under the law, like a little child, has to be disciplined by the law, like a jailer, like a schoolmaster, and you slide down. Chapter 4, and if I can, well, I'll read a little bit so you see it. Now, verse 1, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under the tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, looking back at Israel, now looking at us, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. In other words, the little child is totally dependent on the adult world to take care of it. Elephants don't have to do that, and rhinoceros doesn't have to do that, and a chicken doesn't have to do that. No, they're quick. But us little guys, when we're born, we hang around for a long time to grow up to where we can be independent and without mother and father. We have to have them. And God, we have to have them for a long time, comparatively. We're in bondage then. We're in bondage to have our diapers changed. We're in bondage to get our milk. We're in bondage to just being alive. That's the word, context, chapter 4, verse 3. Sliding a little further, verse 9. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto, in other words, you're going backwards, you're growing up, you need to be dependent upon God, but you aren't. In other words, you're staying in bondage. Let me finish the verse. Verse 9. Weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage. You're going right backwards. Instead of growing up and getting free, you're going backwards. You're going backwards into bondage. What are you doing? You got saved. You aren't down under the ground, down below. God has given you a whole new way to look at everything from above. Looking from God's point of view, he's doing it. He's done it on Calvary's cross. Over if I can, verse 24. Then the illustration, as we know we did, verse 24, which things? Remember Isaac and Ishmael, the law and grace. Verse 24, chapter 4. Which times are in an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the law and grace. Four, the one from the Mount Sinai, the law, which to bondage. You're going to keep reading bondage. The word bondage slash slavery. Bondage, slave. You're a slave, literally. That's the word. Bondage, slavery. Verse 24. Which things are an allegory? But these are the two covenants, etc. The one Mount Sinai and the which genereth to bondage, which is Hagar. 4, verse 25. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. You want it to be under the law? You want it to say, I can do it? The little kid isn't able to do it. The believer, the person that's there, they can't fulfill the law. They can't do it. They can't do anything. They're dead. They're dead. They have to have life. So no matter how you want to talk about it, everything you do is dead. Dead in an awesome way. Go over now over to chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 1. Stand therefore in the light of what God's trying to help us with. Stand therefore in the liberty, the freedom, wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. God sets you free. Don't be caught up in the bondage. Don't be caught up in what was happening and how it was happening. So, having said that, and over, if I can, chapter 5 and verse 13. For brethren, you have been called into liberty, freedom. Only use not liberty. Don't misuse it. Make sure you understand it. Use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one another. Bondage is the old nature. You just read it in verses 19 and 20 and 21. It's your old nature. That's where wars are. That's where everything is. All comes. Doubt, worry, want, fret, fume, fight. Where does it all come from? Our old nature. God, what? Said, I freed you from it. Freed you. So don't try to bring it in don't bring it into the relationship to God that you're going to manage. God, you do your part and I'll do my part. Don't do that. That's your works. Don't do it. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. And in Hebrews in chapter 9, and you'll notice, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, God's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, offered himself without spot to God. What for? To purge, to clean, to cleanse your conscience from what? Dead works. You got to think differently. Think differently. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So you got to see it. So God, what are you going to do? You've given us wonderful liberty, freedom. God took you to the cross and you died, if you're saved, and therefore you're freed. Why? Because he died and buried, and you don't dig it up. God said, I am finished with your old nature. I crucified it. I buried it. So when you want to bring up your old nature and tell me about yourself, forget it. Don't bother doing that. What to do is confess your sin and get busy and live. Exercise life. How am I going to exercise life? With liberty. I set you free from bondage, from a slavery. Romans chapter 8. And let's put it together again. Romans in chapter 8. And you remember, in John chapter, I said Romans chapter 8, at John chapter 8, John. Romans 8 is good too, but at this point, John chapter 8. John chapter 8, going if I can to verse 30. 8:30 John. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue, the word continue, abide. If you continue, if you abide in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed of a truth. And what else? And you shall know the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You're going to know the Lord Jesus Christ, who sets us free. Free. The truth will set you free. And then you read down verse 33. And they answered him, if we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man, how sayest thou, you shall be made free? But they were not free. They thought they were free. They were not a Gentile. They were not on the system. They were under the law. But they were as guilty as could be, and they were not free. But they thought they were free. They thought they were free because we're somebody. No, you're part of the everybody's. You aren't part of someone special. You're a human. You belong to the whole human race. Therefore, verse 2, verse 3, know the truth will make you free. Sliding down to verse 34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Servant, the slave of sin. Slave, bondage, slavery. Verse 35. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. The son belongs in the house. The slave doesn't. The slaves are hired. They have to serve. Verse 36, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Wonderful God, you're going to go and give us a wonderful liberty. Like you read in Galatians 5:1, what are you so foolish? You've been set free. Why would you be in bondage again to your dumb old nature? And your old nature just clobbers you with worry, want, and doubt, and dismay, and discouragement, and a thousand zillion words. Why would you do that when you've been set free? So I'll even go a little further. Verse 37. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. It doesn't belong in you. You don't honor my word. You don't honor my father. You don't know God. So how can you even talk about anything, about being free? You want free, for one, no matter how you cut the cookie. You just aren't free. And as you keep reading, you can get the idea. Now, having said that, in the light of that, now over to Romans 8. And when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God does a wonderful, wonderful thing. And he saves us and gives us a unique relationship to God. Now, we just read in John 8 that servants, slaves, are not they only work in the house. The house belongs to the Son in the illustration. So, what did you do to the slave, to the slaves? That's the word. God saves them and makes them a child, a son of God. All of a sudden, the slave who doesn't belong is now free to belong, now given liberty to be a son and belong in the house. Now, Romans 8, verse 13. For if you have live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, put to death, the deeds of the body, you shall live. Reckon yourself what? Dead indeed unto sin. You count yourself. It isn't anything about you. It isn't anything about me. It isn't anything about us. But get big print. So it isn't anything about us. About me, to merit, to get, deserve, never. Never. No works. No works. No works. Like you said, we use the illustration to, if I had had my devotions this morning, God would have found me a parking place. You see, if I just did this, God would have done that for me. But I didn't do it, so works. It's your works. Your works. Forget it. You want to honor God. You just may have said 7,000 things wrong and did 85,000 things bad. And all you can do in 1 second is confess your sin. And God said, thank you for honoring my word. God doesn't need me to beat myself up for my 85,000 bad things. No. God's looking for me to understand what he's done, and I, in 1 second, recognize he's right. Christ crucified me, and I was stupid to let that put me in bondage. I was stupid to let it take me down the road of worry, want, and everything else. I was dumb to do that, and I confess my sin. God's happy in 1 second. It took me 1 second to get back, and that's for real. Now, having said that, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage. God didn't put you into another kind of slavery. He set you free. You have not received the spirit of bondage, verse 15, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, placed as a son, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Hebrew, Greek, Father, my Father. I'm a son. I belong in the house. I'm a son, like the son. I belong in the house. Well, now, having said that, and if you want to just for the hang on to that thought, and and go back over with me to Hebrews, see if I can see it. It's just helpful. Hebrews, if I can, and in chapter 3, in verse 6, Hebrews 3:6. I'm just connecting the house, son, the son's house, but I want you to know it's the other side. God does everything in 5,000 different ways to try to get across this point. You're a vine, the branch, you're a building, you're my body. He says 85 things to try to tell you, you have a unique, you'll see it this morning, wonderfully so, God help us. Do you see your oneness? So therefore, Hebrews 3:6, you'll remember when we did Hebrews. Verse 6, for Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence, boldness, and the rejoicing of the hope from firm unto the end. So God, we're sons in your house. We belong in that. In fact, God, we are your house. God says a thousand ways. Say, listen, do you know how this, you have no idea how this oneness is. No. Okay. Now, if I can, having got that little bit and keeping that in mind, if I can, over to 2 Peter. There's danger, danger, danger. And 2 Peter chapter 2, picking up in verse 19, you'll see it in the light of false teachers and everything, and the bad guys. And we get caught up. That's what Galatians is about. Don't get caught up with the Judaizers, et cetera, that are telling you you have to do this if you want to be blessed, if you want to know God, you want to enjoy God, you got to be doing this. You know, got to do anything. What you need to do is thank God he's done it and appropriate it properly. Now, so therefore, chapter 2, 2 Peter, verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh. They attract us. Our old nature is attracted by it. Through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error, while they promise them liberty. In other words, do what we're telling you, and you can really, really be saved and grow and know. If you do this and do that, and then you understand this, then you can do it. Okay. Verse 19 again. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants, the slaves of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bond. In other words, if you follow something, you're going to be caught up in it. Your bondage. You want me to follow your rule? Then I follow the rule. And it's going down. And we understand it needs to be by grace, and not by law, and not by something, works that we do. And therefore, I'm going to join the Mormons or something else. The people do all kinds of things. I'm going to do this, if I think I'm that, and God will have to do something for me, and that'll make me holy. No, God makes you holy in Christ Jesus our Lord. He is holy, and therefore you be holy, because you can't be with him without being holy. You can't, I'm going to get holy, then you aren't with him. God, 1 Peter, well, we just did it. Hang on. Verse 20. Chapter 2, verse 20. The end of verse 21. Verse 19, this is brought into bondage, slavery. Verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein, and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. You go from bad, you got freed, and you got caught back in it, and you're more out of it than you were. It's like the fellow that got rid of the one demon, got one, And the one demon, looked back. He said, boy, that guy is an empty house. And so the other demon said, hey, listen, I have some buddies. And so a whole bunch of them came back in. And the state of this guy who got rid of his demon has got 10 more than he'd ever had. He's worse off than ever. Because he understood something, and then he put it aside to redo it. Now what do you do? You goofed the whole thing. So, therefore, we don't want to be caught back into bondage, into slavery. We want to be free, free, free. Now, I'll do that part a little bit. Over to Philippians, if I can. And in Philippians. And picking up, please. In chapter 2. And you'll note, Christ died on the cross and made all of this wonderfully possible. Now, what did he do for us? He became like us. What do we know about us? We were born dead in sins. We were unable. We were total slaves to death. Death had dominance, had control. And being dead, we could do nothing to please God. Being dead, we had no righteousness. We had no life. God said, you're dead. You're lost. Therefore, Philippians, our Lord, what did you do? Verse 7. We'll pick up in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Think rightly. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God? God, like John 1:1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Oh, the Word was with God, the Word is God, etc., etc. Verse 7, robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation. He didn't come in a big fanfare, and took upon him the form of a servant. That's the word slave, bondage. He went all the way and became a little baby, totally caught in bondage. Now, silly illustration again. What happens if he was 2 years old and Mary said something, and Joseph, his stepfather, said something, whatever. And the two-year-old began to talk to them and explain to them about God's word and about what they were doing was wrong. Could he do that? Could the two-year-old get into a healthy debate and dialogue with their parents, with his parents, and help them? He was limited. Bondage. He brought himself. He could not. He could have done that, but he didn't. He didn't. He could have done anything. He could have just sat down and he said, "Don't bother feeding me. I'll give you myself." And he could lay there and say, "Listen, you don't have to go empty the using our language. You don't have to go empty the wastebasket. I'll just move it." And he sent the wastebasket. 2 years old. No, he was total in bondage to himself. He took on him a form of a servant and became subject to God and in bondage to humanity. He was locked in to his humanity. Therefore, in verse 8, but made himself an oration, form of a servant, a slave, and was made unto the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He went all the way down to become just like we were, dead in sins, slaves, bondage, only he was without sin. They did that. So, God, do you understand? God said, I do. That's why I'm going to the cross and die, because you guys will never get free. You're caught in a state of death. The wages of sin is death. The day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely, most certainly, die. In dying, you will die. You'll die instantly in your relationship to God. You'll die physically, which they did in Genesis chapter 5. And if you don't get saved, the second judgment, you'll die the second death eternally. You'll be eternally separated from God. Now, having said that, he did that for us. So, how do we look at it then? How do I look at it as a believer? I'm freed. I'm no more a servant of the system, of my old nature, of the satanic system. I'm free. I may be in it. I may get beat up, but I'm free. I have to understand, even though I'm in it, I am wonderfully, wonderfully free, so that all of the God's will and working in my life, for the outworking of all that God is doing, doesn't require me. It requires God's grace to have it happen. And therefore, I'm going to say thank you. So, having said that, over to Romans chapter 1. And in Romans in chapter 1, picking up, if I can, verse 1. Here's the Apostle Paul. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. The word servant is the word slave. Paul, a slave. Wonderfully, wonderfully a slave. God set me free from death to be in bondage, to be free to be in bondage to life, to enjoy you, God. I'm freed to enjoy your wonderful saving grace. I'm free, freed. I'm a servant. Now, therefore, Romans chapter 6, Romans in chapter 6, and picking up, if I may, you'll see it, verse 16. Remember, all Romans, wonderful, all these things. Know you not, Romans 6, 16, know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants, all the way through, word servant, slave. Verse 16, know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants, slaves, to obey, his servants, slaves, you are to whom you obey. That's right. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Verse 17, God be thanked that you were the servants, the slaves of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, God's the gospel. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants, the slaves of righteousness. That's right. Caught up. I owe God. I'm caught up to be alive. I'm no more in the grave underneath the ground. God has given me the above to enjoy wonderful, wonderful life in a wonderful, wonderful way. Now, to go big jump over to Revelation and chapter 1. God has set us free. And Revelation chapter 1, and you'll catch it. Introduction to the book of Revelation. Remember, we did the book of Revelation somewhere. And in the process, we'll catch it again. Revelation 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to whom, to show unto him, to show unto his servants, his slaves, the word slave, to show unto his slaves things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant slave John. Slave. You say, that's, yeah, John, you're the book, remember we did the book 100 years ago. No, slave. God, what are we doing? When you came to know the Lord, God saved you to serve him, to honor him. And so God makes us, so if we're going to understand, back to what I should say, back to understand the book of Revelation, the introduction is given right off at verse 1. It's written to slaves. And you say, well, I'm a professor, I'm a student, you can do what you want and read Revelation and take it. And it's a tough book. Not an easy book to really understand it. Yeah, it is. At least I think it is. Now, so what do we know, God? I've written it to slaves. I've written it to those that serve me. The book of Revelation is to help you understand my servants, my slaves, to understand what I'm doing. I've given it to my people that are slaves. Now, so where are we, slaves? We're going to go to heaven, get free. Well, okay. If I can, over to Revelation chapter 22. Oh, God, when I get to heaven, I'll be so free. Wow. Do whatever I want, have ice cream when I want, and everything. Wow. Now, Revelation 22, picking up, if I may, in verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants, his slaves. This is in a new heavens and a new earth. I thought we got free. You did. You got free to enjoy life freely without ever being interrupted ever again, to enjoy my wonderful person, said God forever. Now, so, let me keep reading. Verse 6, chapter 22, verse 6. Faithful and true, the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants, his slaves, the things which must shortly come to pass. What did you read in verse 1:1? The servants, the things shortly come to pass. So what we're reading here, God said it isn't far away. Therefore, be looking for my return, because that's next. It's the last hour. So, now having done that, over if I can, verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth my sayings of the prophecy of this book. Wow. Verse 20. So God, how do you end the book? Shortly must come to pass. Verse 20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely, our Lord says, surely, I am coming quickly. I am coming. So there is no clock, no calendar. God doesn't have a calendar. God doesn't have a clock. Doesn't go by that. No, he goes by timelessness, which we have no idea how to understand that. Timelessness. And God said, now to me is now. I'm doing it now. I'm coming now. Shortly, I'm coming. When you look at the clock, he didn't look at the clock. He's just looking at everything. He sees it all at once, and all of it's there. And it all happens. It's all there. It's now. I'm coming quickly. Ah, okay. Now, having said that, coming quickly, I'm a slave to serve. So what are we going to do? Oh, thank you for reminding me. Chapter 22, and in verse 3. And there shall be no more curse. This is in God's holy, happy eternity. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And the servants, slaves, yeah, the slaves shall serve him. The word serves, a different word. It means to serve without pay, to hire somebody. Serve, but you don't get paid. You don't get paid. There's no salary. Well, boy, God, I worked all day, you know. God said this, there's no pay. There's no pay. No pay, no pay, no pay. All the way, no pay. That's what you're going to do. No pay. You're mine. To what? Enjoy me, said God, forever. And you have no idea what that's going to be like. You don't know. I'm going to do it. Now, having said that, back over to Galatians. You got the idea? I just wanted to get the idea. Liberty. Don't let your work, dumb working system in your brain cause you to lose your liberty. You're freed from every word, thought, deed in your little old head and mind that you could even conceive of, and every kind of thing that could happen in the round the world around you. You're freed. God sets you free from the system, the world system, your old nature. Galatians chapter 5. And in Galatians in chapter 5, picking up if I may, in verse 18, so you see it again. For I say then, I'll go to verse 13 again, 5 and 13. For brethren, you have been called, where? Not into bondage, but into liberty. Not only use not your liberty that you've been given as an occasion to the flesh. In other words, I'm saved. I can do what I want. God, I'm already saved. I can do and hear. It doesn't matter what I do because I'm saved. See, don't let that happen because you may go from bad to worse. Don't let that happen. Wrong thing to do. Yep, and lots of people do it. Now, unfortunately, so God help us. So therefore, sliding down, if I can, verse 18. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're going to look to God to do a wonderful thing in our life. And verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, that's your old nature. And you're going to fight tooth and nail to do your works and to honor yourself. You can bet your boots in it. Based on your personality, your background, your kind of personality you have, I'm somebody. You don't want to get locked in. A wonderful thing that can happen to you is to get free from your personality in a good way. It's nothing about me. It's nothing about you guys. We're afraid.